Hey everybody, Coach Michael here. Hope you're all doing well. I'm back for another open class to answer three emails that have come in that are submitted through our website, which is thesleepcoachschool.com. Right at the top, there's a link there, and you can submit email questions for our broadcast. And also, there's the website there. We also have the Self-Coaching Master program. So you can get all kinds of information there, and there's a lot of free stuff too. So when you go there, you can check it all out and hopefully find something of value there. So I want to jump in now to our emails that we have for today. And the first email comes from Jacob. Jacob says, I struggle to go to bed on time and to keep sleeping through the night. Does anyone have any tips on how to fix these two problems? First of all, Jacob, thank you for submitting a question. Right off the bat, a lot of people struggle with sleep. They struggle with insomnia and getting to sleep, staying asleep, waking up too early. These are the classic experiences that we call insomnia, chronic insomnia, when it's ongoing. As far as tips, not really. It's simple, just do this kind of thing. So what I would suggest, and nothing here is medical advice, by the way, we always like to say that, I would go back to the school. And well, even before that, you have the YouTube channel that you're on. Subscribe, get notifications every time we come on live, which is pretty frequently. You can get all kinds of information about sleep and insomnia as we go through different emails, some different insights. Sometimes there's a guest that we interview. Coach Daniel is very active on this channel. So there's a lot here that's a great way to get started. And then if you want to get even further into overcoming insomnia, back to the website. Again, there's free information there to help you get started, video-based information. And then if you would like to become a member, you can sign up there too. So we're here to help guide and offer a lot of suggestions and strategies that we've seen be very effective and very helpful for a lot of people. Tends to ultimately involve some thought work. So the behavioral side usually is pretty straightforward, but then it's the change in thinking that really is what makes it all come together. So we go through all that at the school and we talk about that on the channel. So hopefully there's a lot of information there for you that you can access and gain some insights. Okay, thank you, Jacob, for your question. Message from Ellie. Okay, and Ellie, just really quick, Coach Daniel knows that you have submitted another email or two, and he'll be addressing those since they were more specific to him. So I'm going to go ahead and respond to this one here. Some nights when my day has been so horrible, I tend to feel like I didn't earn the ability to sleep that night. Similarly, when I wake up and realize I got poor sleep, I feel the same way, like I didn't earn good sleep for whatever reason. This clearly shows how small my sleep confidence is. How can I stop thinking this way in both scenarios? So rough day, poor night, feel like you didn't earn the ability to sleep that night. And then sometimes waking up, realizing you slept poorly and feel the same way, like you didn't earn good sleep for whatever reason. Okay, let's talk about the first one and then an overall comment. So anything can affect your sleep. So, you know, anything can. Something as simple as just something bothered you during the day that could stay in your mind. It makes you, you know, just thinking a lot at night. You wake up, you start thinking about the thing, not necessarily about sleep or insomnia or anything like that. You just have a poor night. Something happens and you don't sleep very well. It's a completely normal response. So sleep will be, it can be shallow and fragmented. When something happens during the day that maybe upset you, or maybe it was really exciting, it could be the other direction too. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Maybe it's something you ate that didn't agree with you. Maybe it's a, you know, it could be almost anything can disrupt your sleep. So the first part of your question, is there's nothing to earn really. If you have a day that's stressful or a poor, just a rough day for whatever reason, sleep, it gets more challenging, I guess is a way to say it. So, you want to just understand that, first of all, that anything can affect your sleep, and then don't get upset with yourself. The kindness that we talk about, show yourself some kindness. That's a completely normal thing to happen. So the second question you had was, after a poor night of sleep, you feel you, for whatever reason, I think you said you didn't deserve it, you didn't earn it. So, and then you talk about sleep confidence. So having a poor night of sleep, it can happen, but it doesn't have to determine your day. So the other direction, the night quality of sleep at night, determining your day, is completely, it really is up to you. How you go on about the day, you cannot give sleep a second thought. The best thing you can do in the morning with your sleep is to forget about it. I just simply like to say that it doesn't help to ruminate, to think about, to dwell on, whatever phrase you want to use, how the night went, because it doesn't matter at that point. It really doesn't. You just get on with your day, and you might find that your day can be okay, regardless of what happened at night. I think it actually, is helpful to treat yourself well after a poor night. Don't cancel things. Don't develop a negative kind of outlook on things. If you had a poor night, just shrug. Okay, whatever. It's over. It doesn't matter. Because here's what the thing is, that sleep quality at night is more dependent on the wake quality of your day. So then the other way around. So a good day very consistently produces, decent nights of sleep for most people. It's when a person waits for a good night of sleep before they do nice things during the day. Turn the tables on the whole thing. It doesn't matter. You should always have a nice day. You should always treat yourself well. But maybe if you had a poor night of sleep, take that extra step. Maybe you do one extra thing that you enjoy, kind of pamper yourself a little bit and say, I'm just going to enjoy myself, because that's the only way to live, right? You gotta take care of yourself, do the things you know are right. And you might find that your sleep improves because of that, not because of any strange, bedtime restriction and all this kind of stuff that sleep hygiene, all that stuff. It's, what did you do during the day? Did you enjoy yourself? Did you engage in things? Did you treat yourself well? So if you have a poor night of sleep, take the extra step, treat yourself even better the next day. One thing I do when I have a short night of sleep, I generally don't struggle with insomnia. That's just me. But I'll occasionally have a short night of sleep. Maybe I'm up late working on something, or it's a windy night or something like that. The next day, I just kind of go, yeah, it's kind of a short night. I don't feel 100%, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do extra exercise today, or I'm going to, do something I enjoy. I almost turn the tables on the whole thing. And I encourage you to do that. The last thing I want to comment on is the confidence thing. I think if you finish your email, let me go back to it here. If I can get to it here. There it is. This clearly shows how small my sleep confidence is. Okay. Sleep confidence isn't something you can magically create. Okay. It's the byproduct, or it is the product of all of the thought changing that we talk about in this channel, understanding sleep, understanding the gas brake model, understanding the desire and trouble, circular kind of chasing itself model. We talk about, timelessness and all these kinds of things. And we have, the NATO thing, with Coach Daniel is coming up with different terms for different kinds of things. And so when you understand all that, then your sleep improves and your confidence goes up. But I want to talk about confidence as a general concept here. Confidence doesn't mean perfection. It doesn't mean even that you're good at something. If you think about it, like, someone can be overconfident. That's a, common term we throw around. Someone can be overconfident, and then you know, like, oh, they're not really all that good at what they think they're good at, but they're confident. And you almost, in a way, you almost kind of like envy them. You know, someone's like really confident in their ability to do something, and you just think, wow, they seem okay at it, but not that great. But boy, they sure talk like they're confident, and they feel like they're confident. Well, that feeling of confidence happens with sleep. And it kind of is at the end of that natto, you know, is at that destination, you know, that not attached to the outcome natto destination. The people who are at that point, they're very confident in their sleep. And they're not all the same. They don't all sleep the same quality. Some sleep better quality than others. Some feel a little more rested in the morning than others. But they're at that point where they are not attached to their sleep quality or duration in any way. It just is. And so they become very confident in it. It's just, yeah, like I just get through the night. Whatever happens, happens. And I don't let it impact my day. So that's really what confidence is. So, you know, you'll get there. It's a thought thing. You know, it's like you gotta change your thinking to get to that point. And I think actually we'll just jump right to the next and final email, because there's so much there that I think you and Jacob also can really learn from it. So let's go to the final email we have. And yes, from John. Okay, John commented from open class number 48. This is your comment here, John. And John's been working a lot with Coach Daniel and very familiar. So John, I just want to take a moment to respond to your email here. I'm sleeping very soundly now, and I think I finally cracked the final piece of the puzzle. I have actually beaten insomnia months back, but the belief that I still have it can actually bring on the symptoms of insomnia. So I went from suffering from insomnia to paradoxical insomnia. That's kind of that feeling that you didn't sleep, but you actually did sleep more than you think, that kind of feeling. Suffering from insomnia to paradoxical insomnia by monitoring myself too much. I understood way more about sleep than before. I find people naturally get very sleepy after being awake for 17 or 18 hours. And this is the so-called sleep drive, which builds from just staying awake long enough. Typically, 17 to 18 hours of wake time generates 6 to 7 hours of sleep duration. So that's kind of like, we call it the homeostatic sleep drive. It's the natural buildup of wakefulness. And on average, that's, you know, kind of an average, 17, 18 hours of wake, 6-ish hours of sleep. That's kind of like an average. You know, everyone's different, but that's kind of just a rough average. That's a demonstration of how the homeostatic drive works for sleep. I also found it is natural to get a bit of wakefulness / sleepiness in each other at any one time. So while asleep, it is natural to momentarily become alert, aka waking up, several times during the night, and vice versa when awake. Everyone gets sleepy once in a while throughout the day. I guess these are the effects of hormones on the human body, depending on which is more dominant. It's kind of like a yin yang thing, where there is a tiny black dot in a white environment and likewise a white dot in a black environment. So that's kind of like that classic image, the yin yang, the image there. So there's a little dot in the middle. And the hormone thing, it's a very complex thing. I mean, they're still trying to figure out how sleep happens and, you know, the neurochemistry behind it and all of that. So there's hormonal effects among many other kinds of things. It's a whole physiological change that happens from sleep to wake and wake to sleep. So, but your point is exactly right. It's that waking up at night is normal more than a few times. And during the day, occasionally feeling tired, even sleepy a little bit, is normal. You have a natural circadian sleepiness that kind of was also at play there. So that's thought to be maybe that afternoon bit of drowsiness that most people experience to one degree or another. And you're exactly right. So you understand sleep. That's the big message here, is you understand sleep. Then we get into, so when I stopped paying attention to my symptoms, I realized I am now back to my normal self. That's a really, really good sentence right there. So when I stopped paying attention to my symptoms, I realized I am now back to my normal self. I am already a normal sleeper. Wow, what a revelation. It is actually possible to sleep normally, even when thinking about sleep or fearing insomnia, as long as those thoughts are being processed like any other. This is massive insight here. This really just gets right to the thing. It's just, this is great stuff. A sleep thought is just like any other, just a thought. It has no bearing on the ability to sleep because the body will naturally produce sleepiness after the required amount of wakefulness has been achieved. What you're talking about there is the gas break. The gas is going, full gas, break is off. That's what you just were taught. That's the analogy right there. The body will also naturally wake when the required amount of sleep slash rest to rejuvenate has been achieved. Absolutely no mystery there. So true. No mystery because you understand it. You've taken the time and you've learned how sleep works, how insomnia happens, how insomnia keeps going, all of that. You've learned it. So there's no mystery. Thank you for answering my questions. I think and worry less about sleep now because I understand it so much better. That is amazing. That is such a great email. That came in through an open class number 48. Okay, great. John, that's amazing. I just wanted to read that. Hopefully everyone can really let that sink in. It's just such insight. You've gotten there. You understand it now. You're, and it sounds like it kind of just all of a sudden you realized you did, you know. It's like, wow, I don't have insomnia anymore. That doesn't mean you won't have an occasional poor night of sleep. And you know that. And it doesn't mean that, you know, sometimes, you know, you could have little insomnia thoughts that kind of can creep back a little bit, but you know, the answer isn't like the rabbit hole of looking for, you know, things, gimmicks and tricks that help. It's not, you know, severely restricting your sleep, you know, because you understand the sleep drive, you get it. And this is just fantastic insight. It really is fantastic insight. So I wanted to finish with that email, with our three emails, with that one, because it's just such a positive email. And I'm just so glad that you submitted that and you've come so far and you're there. You're confident in your sleep. You understand sleep. You know, the thing about understanding something too is, you know, when you understand something, you're less anxious about it. I think I was talking about this on a recent open class, maybe yesterday, I can't remember. But you know, when you understand something, it's not a mystery. You're not worried about it. You know, it's like, you know, the spot on the skin, there's, you know, you think it's bad, you know, and even if this is kind of interesting analogy, you know, if you see, you know, you get the spot on the skin, you go check it out, you think, oh, hopefully it's not like cancer or something like that. Even if it is, and they've studied this, if you get like bad news, if you're worried about something, even if you learn the truth and the truth isn't good, you're less anxious about it because now you know what it is. The brain is always trying to figure things out. And if it can't figure something out, it's going to react. It can react by waking you up, by keeping you awake. It can react, and some people, maybe their eating patterns change. Like, you know, it's that brain that needs a piece of information. It reacts in so many different ways. It's kind of that it's just anxiety, really. Once you learn what the truth is about something, anxiety goes down. And with sleep, that's just like huge. So, you know, anxiety and sleep, they don't mix. And so if it helps to reduce anxiety by learning about whatever it is you're anxious about, learn about sleep. That's the key. You know, you learn about sleep. John's email, perfect example of that. He understands it. And so, you know, there's so many analogies and I don't want to go through all that, but you know, you really just have to, you have to kind of learn to be your own coach. And I think that's really where it helps. You get information. Hopefully we can provide information that can help guide you. And then you do some self thought work. You know, you talk to yourself a little bit, you figure things out, you know, you do a little detective work. You're kind to yourself. You realize things that you can't control. Sleep. You can't control sleep. So, you know, you just have to, that's like, you have to remind yourself of that, like occasionally, you know, because with insomnia, it's like the thought that, oh, I can just do, like, I know it's just like, I'm almost figured it out. You know, it's just that right amount of melatonin, or it's just that, that one yoga pose. If I can just do a little variation, all these kinds of things, not the answer. You might sleep well after doing something like that, but it's not going to survive. It's not going to hold up because it's not the, the reason that sleep happens. Sleep happens when the gas pedal's down, your sleep drive, good time, sleep drive, full go, full bore, and the brake pedal is off. There's nothing getting in the way, resisting, anything like that. It's just pure sleep drive. And the brake side of that analogy is usually thinking. It's thoughts, you know, like John was saying, thoughts, they're just thoughts. They don't have to mean anything. They don't have to control anything. So when you get to that point and you realize that when it comes to sleep, thoughts can get in the way, then just understanding that is really like the key to not having it be a problem. So anyways, I'm so happy to read that email, John. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. You know, hopefully a lot of people will see this and they will just feel so much better about, you know, where they are with their sleep, and know that they know that there is a final destination with your sleep. And that's fantastic. Good. This is such great stuff. We have a couple live questions here. First from Viviana. There we go. Viviana says, "You and Dr. Erickson have helped me so much along my journey with understanding insomnia. You guys are amazing. Thank you." Might not be able to tell, but I'm blushing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So nice of you to say. Just love getting comments like that. It really it's just uplifting in every way. So fantastic, Viviana, and thank you for supporting us and the channel and everything like that. Let's see, we have a question from JK. If you are just laying with your eyes open, are you still building sleep drive? Yeah, if you're awake, you're building sleep drive. It doesn't matter if your eyes are open or closed. You know, some people, and this is kind of an interesting topic too. Some people that, you know, they'll ask me about like resting. Is resting okay? Is that, you know, kind of the same? Is it like half as good as sleep, or, you know, and it's a really logical question if you think about it. But, and I don't know if you meant with your eyes open or closed. Even if you're laying with your eyes closed, you know, if you are awake laying with your eyes closed, you are still building sleep drive. Sleep drive starts to dissipate. Starts to decrease when you fall asleep, when you are asleep. That's the only thing that makes it decrease, with a little bit of that circadian back and forth. But mostly, as far as the sleep drive goes, if you're awake, it's building. But people ask me about resting, and, you know, resting is not sleep. And it might feel nice, perfectly fine, great. You know, if you feel like resting, rest. You know, you have a busy day, something, you know, or you just kind of feel a little out of sorts, you just want to rest. Yeah, that can help just generally feeling good. And your sleep drive will keep building. Now, some people that they rest and they start dozing off and they don't maybe realize that. So have a method, you know, maybe someone around who can kind of check on you so you're not dozing off too much. Anyways, if you want to do a little nap, that's totally fine for people who are confident in their sleep, you know, take a nap. Sure, it's great. If you're worried that, you know, if you take a nap, you're going to have trouble sleeping at night and that makes you anxious, maybe, you know, at least for now, maybe avoid the nap. That's just a thought, but it's really personal. You know, everyone's kind of different. You kind of test things out. It's, you know, we call it, it's small potatoes, right? You know, you take a nap, it's like, you know, unless it's like a 4-hour nap in the afternoon, that's kind of like sleep part one, you know? So you want to be careful about that. But, you know, if you take a 45-minute nap or something, yeah, if it makes you feel a little better, great. You figured something out. But as far as resting goes, you just want to make sure that, you don't want it to go too long. So just have an alarm or someone that can wake you up. JK follows with, so if you don't sleep a whole night, shouldn't you your sleep drive be sufficient enough? If you don't sleep a whole night, yeah, your sleep drive will naturally be stronger the next day. It doesn't mean you're going to fall asleep easily, because remember, it's sleep drive, that gas pedal, and the brake is the other stuff that gets in the way. Mainly anxiety, hyperarousal, thought patterns, you know, thinking certain things about sleep that maybe aren't necessarily true. Like a classic one is like, I shouldn't wake up at night. You know, it's like everyone wakes up multiple times. That's reality. So, you know, there's different things that are that constitute the break side of the analogy. So if you don't sleep a whole night, like if you have just a few hours, 3-4 hours or something like that, yeah, probably your natural sleep drive would be a little stronger the next day, but you have hyperarousal. If you're thinking about your sleep and you're trying to control your sleep, you might not really notice it. So that's, you know, there's so much more to that story, you know, but that's kind of the short answer there. It's sufficient enough is kind of an interesting phrase there. Yeah, I mean, it's sufficient enough, but you just have to be careful about, you know, the break side of things and understand what hyperarousal is and how it keeps people awake during the day, even after very short nights of sleep. Okay, thank you for those questions, JK. Let's see, don't see any more at the moment. Yeah, okay, I think I'm just gonna wrap it up at that. This might be my last one for the year, we'll see. JK says, thank you. Thank you, JK, appreciate your question. I don't know if Dr. Daniel's going to be on one more tomorrow for the end of the year. I'm not sure. Maybe later tonight. I'm not sure. But anyways, it's been a great year. And if I don't see everybody until 2021, hope you have a great new year. Be safe. And keep the questions coming. We love them. And again, the school, let's see, get to it here. Self-coaching master program at thesleepcoachschool.com. Great place to visit. Check everything out. And I will see you all later on. Bye-bye now.